When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Content warning. The Adventures in Hellworld podcast talks in depth about QAnon, which means we have to talk about all kinds of child abuse and violence against people. Listener discretion advised.
Hello, everybody. I am Mike Rains, a.k.a. Poker and Politics, and welcome to another episode of Adventures in Hellworld. This week, I am joined, as always, by the boss, Haley. Why is your name the boss?
I don't know. The app lets you put any name you want, so I was like, what should I put? And I was going to put boss bitch, but I didn't know if you would feel comfortable calling me that, so I just put the boss.
Fair enough. Mm-hmm. And I'm also joined by the head chef and proprietor of the Crooked Pigeon Tavern. It's the Mysterious L.
Hello, my beautiful babies. And also, for the record, Haley, I'm perfectly comfortable calling you a bitch.
I know.
You bitch.
I know you are.
I'm glad Mike brought up the Crooked Pigeon thing because you had sent me that photo via Boomer Facebook Messenger or whatever, and it must have been like I must have been asleep or whatever because I vaguely remembered it this morning when I was walking to a dentist appointment. I know my life is very exciting and that's why I'm leading with all of this. But the end result is that one of our listeners apparently sent us a picture of the Crooked Pigeons, and if you ran that picture through like a pass to make it look like cruddier, like you put it through or like an image inversion or whatever, it would make a hell of a punk rock album cover. It would be great. Crooked Pigeons, is that the name of the album or the band? Who could say?
Both.
But Crooked Pigeon does sound like a pretty sweet punk band.
It does.
It's definitely there. It's definitely it's the self-titled debut album. It definitely is. It's just Crooked yeah. Pigeons.
But yeah, I mean, shout out to whatever listener. I mean, I would have to imagine it was a listener.
It was, yeah.
That was a hilarious thing for you to send me, for me to receive and look at it like 1:30 in the morning as I woke up to piss. I was like, a crooked pigeon.
Yes. Yeah, that was something that was very entertaining for me. I was like, oh man, I'm glad this joke landed with at least one person. So I very much appreciate that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, who doesn't love Donald Trump?
That, yeah, obviously. Oh,
hopefully a substantial amount more than 50% of the population, at least according to how the Electoral College works, which is, you know, a mystery.
Yes, oh, exactly.
I've heard it explained to me several times, but it remains an enigma. I like every time somebody explains it to me, I'm just like, oh, but why though? And they're just like, bah.
Exactly.
Some shit like hundreds of years ago or whatever. And I'm just like, yep. Okay, but like, don't know, man. I feel the internet exists now. I feel like we don't need, like, I feel like an individual's person could be, like, voice could be made pretty, heard pretty easily if we really wanted them to be.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We mistakes were made back when we created our system of electing people, and those mistakes were not rectified. So,
just a few.
Yep. It's not great. It's not great. One could go so far as to say. So.
Also, dude, like, you know, the Constitution is, like, pretty nice and all, but it's, like any old media, it could use a reboot. Like, let's take a new pass at it and make some shit a little more clear, you know? Like, let's make that right to bear arms thing, like, a little more, like, let's make it a little more reasonable. Oh, to the Wild West. Like, your right to bear arms is limited to a six-shot, like, weapon at most. So that boom. Yeah. Now we're back to cowboy ties. Lots of people walking around fucking revolvers on their hips. That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
That's just Arizona. Revolvers on your hip? I don't know.
You're just the land of ocelot revolvers. You've got people juggling six-shooters. Pow, 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 pow. It's
great. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's certainly a lot cooler than those ding-dongs that just walk around strapped with their fucking AR-15, which is the rest of the country. So I guess finally I get to say Point Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
We have cowboy guns and cowboy hats and cowboy boots.
I mean,
and cowboy ties.
How much trouble could you really get into
and cowboy pants.
Six shots before you have to fucking reload a whole six gun, you know? Like... Unless you've got some serious training, that's going to take, like, at least a few seconds. Then a good guy with a revolver can blow you away. I'll just be just like the Wild West. Yeah! That's what if I know this is how the conversation was going to go, I would have led with a yee-haw, my beautiful babies.
It's rootin' tootin' L.
Howdy.
Yes.
Yeah, it'd be great.
Yes.
And somewhere we can put it in there that term limits for people, for everybody, all term limits all the time, term limits for everyone.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was like a right-wing thing that was big for a while, is that there's a provision in the Constitution that a constitutional convention can be triggered, which would lead to basically, like, no one even knows how it would actually be run, but basically we would have this giant moment where we would rewrite the Constitution itself. And they needed to get like 37 states to trigger it, and they got to, and it was, they're somewhere around like 30 at this point. But it was like, that was a big right wing bugaboo back in the day. And every now and then, some magazine that wanted to do like a prestige piece would be like, the right wing plot you're not hearing about. And they'd just be like, they did it. They just got South Dakota to sign on to the Constitutional Convention. Now they're only seven states away. And it was just like, let's do this. I'm in favor of it. Let's do the rewrite. Let's do the edit. Let's just all get in there and start like looking at the Constitution and seeing what we can do to fix that shit. The Senate abolished immediately. Fuck you. I mean, just like all kinds of stuff. So I'm down. You guys want to like strip the government down to the studs and rebuild it? I'm here for you. Because I got a bone to pick with a lot of it.
We'll have to do that after Civil War II anyway, so just you wait, Mike. You know,
yes.
I'm excited that you mentioned a fucking like conspiracy or whatever that nobody's talking about. Because I mentioned this to you in the pre-show notes thing, but it doesn't really have fuck all to do with QAnon, so I'm gonna wedge it in here. I think it's fucking crazy that Boeing probably assassinated a guy on US soil, and like everyone's just like, oh, that's weird. And then that's as far as that story essentially went, is they're just like, you know, a bunch of people being like, here's this story. Allegedly, in between testifying against Boeing part one and testifying against Boeing part two, he decided to go back to his hotel room and blow his own brains out. And it's just like, okay, that seems like pretty suspicious. But I'm glad that it was swiftly ruled a suicide. They were just like, we did it. We looked at the facts for as long as we were mandated to by the amount of money Boeing paid us. And this man has committed grisly suicide. And we'll look into it no further. Thank you. No more questions.
Oh yeah, I'm looking at the headlines from it, and all the people that are around him are like, "There's no way he killed himself." So like this is one of those things where, like pretty much everyone around him is saying that this is bullshit. So I do hope that whatever's going on, that there is actually a real investigation into this. And it's not what, as Elle's pointing out, it's going to be like one of these things where it's just, the guy killed himself and that's totally what happened. And the people who don't think that can just be loud and angry and never receive any validation for their feelings, because we're not going to actually dig into it beyond a cursory examination.
Also, like, if Boeing has nothing to do with it, I mean, it's real bad timing for them, because first of all, everybody, like, the secret's out, Boeing sucks, and they have ever since they merged with that other fucking group. Like, you know, John Oliver, or I think it was John Oliver, did a big piece on it or whatever recently. But it's just like, you know, they've sucked for a long time, and they're getting worse now that the planes are flying off, or the doors are flying off their planes midair and shit. So that's fun. And now that they're in the headlines for being poopy, this thing happens with this guy who's blowing the whistle on them. Yeah. And, you know, mental health is an enigma, so I'm not saying it's impossible that this guy could decide to unlive himself between his first, like, part of this deposition or whatever it was, and the second part. Like, I mean, we're not talking about he did it once, and then they went to get him again and found out he was dead. It was just like, they were just like, oh, okay, that's been 6 hours, shake hands, all right, we'll see you tomorrow. And then he didn't show up tomorrow, and they were like, what the hell? And then he was dead. By his own hand! And it's just like, wow, that's very fortunate for Boeing. Good for them.
Yeah. Yeah, the guy just, like, sunk into a crippling depression spiral after his first day of testimony that he'd been wanting to do for forever. Yeah.
Guys, there's only so much of both of you being in your phones I can take before I call you out on the show.
I'm texting Mike.
I know. Yeah. So I'm calling it out now. Like,
I just texted you, too.
What the fuck is going on?
No,
I was looking for a photo specifically to send you guys because we were talking about it.
Sent me a photo of her gun, her revolver. No,
it's a six shooter in a holster. We were just talking about it. It's vintage.
I mean, that's cool. That's cool enough, but it could have waited.
No, we were talking about it. We were talking about Cowboys. About Boeing.
It should be a picture of an airplane, or at the very least, the person shooting a
pretend I snuck it on an airplane.
Yeah.
Anyway, I thought that was crazy. Nobody's talking about it. It's just as legitimate a suicide as Jeffrey Epstein. Make of that what you will. Okay, so I guess it's time for us to move on to our amuse-bouche.
It's time for a light sampling of insanity. Get ready for the amuse-bouche.
Wait, are we not talking about the photo?
What photo? Your gun photo?
No, the Middleton photo.
I knew there was something I was missing that we were supposed to talk about. I don't know. I trust Mike to curate the stuff that QAnon is apparently interested in.
Does QAnon care? Because I certainly don't.
No, QAnon has not cared about the Kate Middleton photo at all.
That's
like,
great.
Literally, it was only a vague thing where they were just sort of like, this photo proves that Kate Middleton is dead and the crown is falling apart, so this is good.
That's fun.
Screw the British monarchy. Because they've always been one of the big bads in this whole nonsense conspiracy world where the British crown somehow still runs the world. Yeah, but I really haven't seen anyone go into it because the dopamine hit that you get from debunking and decoding stuff, QAnon doesn't get that because the people that are obsessed with the royals already did all the debunking about the photo and they found all the shit about it being a composite and stuff like that. So there's just there's no incentive for QAnon to dogpile on top of that. They're just sort of like, way to go, royal people that are obsessed with it. You did it. You found that. Now we're just going to talk about them being lizard people. And Princess Di was killed by the Illuminati at the end. So
yeah, here's one on Twitter. Breaking. Kate Middleton's lawyer has reportedly said he believes she is dead, adding that he will be forced to report on it if he doesn't hear from her soon. He also specifically mentioned Queen Camilla and said she needs to be looked into. Wow. And then there's a community note on it. There is no evidence that Princess Catherine is dead.
That's what they want.
That's true, but there's also not like a super ton of evidence she's alive currently either.
You're so right.
And the fact that they can't easily produce that to ward off all of this immediately is kind of suspicious. And so the fact that QAnon is not interested in that, it really bums me out. I mean, like, the fact that they're just like, yeah, it's fine. Whatever. It's Donald Trump involved. We don't care. It's just like, okay, cool. I mean, now that QAnon's head is so far up Donald Trump's ass that they're not really their own thing anymore, it's just like, oh, brother, like, what are we even doing?
Yeah. Yeah, as El just said, this normally would be huge catnip for them, where it's this big conspiracy about a piece of evidence that was fabricated and blah, blah, blah. But I have not seen any of them really digging into it, because it's basically one of those things where it's like, it's too mainstream, so it ain't cool. Like, they're like, oh, man.
Yeah, people like my mom are talking about this. So.
Right, exactly. So, like... Like, that's the problem. The normies already debunked the photo. And if the normies are in on it, then QAnon can't be in on it, because it's not cool anymore. All they can do is, like, post them, like, look, even the normies are waking up to what's happening now. Bah! And it's, yeah, great. Congratulations. Someone did a hatchet job of a Photoshop of a Kate Middleton photo. Wonderful. Amazing. So, yeah.
Yeah, so of course that's too interesting to talk about, Haley. You were a fool to even mention it. But I do thank you for reminding me of the thing that I knew we weren't going to get to talk about. Earlier this week, I was like, there were two crazy things that happened, and I was just like, when we record, I'm going to have to ask Mike if QAnon cares about either of these things. And he is going to say, no, of course not. Donald Trump hasn't said anything about those two things. And I'm going to go, sweet, time to saddle up for our quote-unquote QAnon podcast and then talk about Donald Trump for 30 minutes. So that's excellent. And I'm very pleased that it's like, oh, my God, my precognition is getting absolutely crazy. Dune 2, another thing that I would have loved to have talked about.
Did you watch it?
I had to talk about the Boeing thing during my miscellaneous shit. What?
Did you see the movie?
I did. And it was great.
Okay, that's all I need to know.
Denis Villeneuve is one of our greatest living directors, and he is excellent, and I love him. And despite the fact that I don't really like Timothée Chalamet, I think that he's very good as Paul Atreides. Lisa Nogai.
Mike, did you see it?
No, I have not seen it.
Are you gonna?
I might see both movies when Dune 2 is like streaming, because I've never been into Dune. Dune's just something I never got into. It was like always out there, and I've always heard all kinds of weird things about it, and that, like, the longer it goes into the series, the more, like, crazy it gets. So I know about the spice. I know about the worms. I know about the orange jihad, or whatever they call it.
It's set in Arizona. Little known fact.
It's a great way. That movie, I will say before we move on, because unfortunately we have to talk about a different type of worm, aka a penis that may or may not exist between Macron's wife's legs. But we'll get to that in a moment. I will say, for the record, that Dune, the movies, because they're relatively short compared to the books, is a great way to weed out the liberal friends that you should be continuing to associate with, and the liberal friends that you know that just have brain worms. They're just closer to the ones that we like than the conservative ones. Because I've been seeing a lot of people, like, going into this Discord on TikTok, where everyone is completely insane, going in there and just being like, fuck this white savior narrative movie. And it's just like, bro, if you're watching Dune or reading Dune and you think it's a white savior narrative, man, I mean...
It's about worms. It's a movie about worms. No, it's about worms. It's about worms and sand. That's what the movie's about.
That's all it's about. Haley has to think that that's what it's about, because that's what Arizona is about, and she needs desperately to get some representation in cinema form. She's just like, she's like, the Truman's franchise is dead. I need something, for the love of fucking God.
I'm now just imagining Haley with her six shooter in the air, riding her sandworm to work every day.
That's how I get there. That's the light rail here.
Right. The light rail is sandworms, and your personal protection is a six shooter. This is just the Arizonian way of life.
Okay, look, sometimes you have to kill the things you love. So I have to put an end to this Dune talk so that we could talk about QAnon's obsession with thinking that people are trans. This time, I guess our target is Macron's wife, as I mentioned before. Macron. No, he's French, right? It's Macron. Okay. Anyway.
Macron. Yeah.
That guy's wife is apparently a guy, of course, because she's a woman in a position of power. So, I mean, penis alert.
Exactly. God.
Which again, it's like tough. We have to do this so often because QAnon are fucking lunatics, but it's just like, again, it's like. It's tough to talk about this because who cares? First of all, no, she's not. And second of all, even if she was, who cares? Like, it doesn't, like, who cares? Who cares? If it was just like, oh, man, yeah, can't believe Macron's sucking that dick. It's just like, yeah, but why do you care that he's sucking that dick? Like, what the fuck does it matter to you?
Well, because I'm not doing it. Wait, what?
I mean, I guess that would be a justification. Like, if they were just like, I'm mad jealous, I want that princess wand in my mouth, I'd be like, all right, then bet. I guess, like, it's close to a reasonable justification you're going to get here. At least that would be an acknowledgement of a personal flaw. Like, yeah, it's all pure jealousy. I just want to taste it. You're just like, okay, I mean, that's still shitty, but I could get it.
Well, the QAnon justification for their transphobia and their bigotry is that Macron's wife, Michelle Obama, all these people are trans in public to pollute our minds with this horrible, evil trans ideology that is warping society and perverting culture. And that is why they are pointing this out and highlighting it. It's not because they're raging transphobes. It's because of the deception that our elites are pretending to be women when they're not, which is, again, obviously bullshit, and it's all transphobia. But apparently some far-right lunatics in France started this shit. And then Candace Owens and a bunch of right-wing morons in America got on this this thing. And now, if you don't know who Candace Owens is, she is a right-wing grifter who works for Ben Shapiro and is just a useless sack of slime who once said that Hitler's problem was that he started invading other countries. And if he had just stuck to Germany, everything would have been just peachy. She has stated that she will risk her professional career on the story that Macron's wife, Bridget Macron, is a man. And it's like, oh no, Candace. Oh no. Really, really putting a lot on the line here. Because boy, I mean, if your credibility goes in the tubes after this, what will you have then? Oh no. So yeah.
Is that Javier Bardem?
Yes, it is.
Actually. Wow.
So, now I was the one sharing secret text with Haley. Because I finally got a chance to look at and respond to her photo. So I responded with Lisa. yeah, because can we talk about what's up with Republicans' obsession with Cox? Has anybody, like, is there like a video I can watch on YouTube
think
or something where somebody,
I think
like,
there's a whole Freud theory about that.
Dude, I mean, I'm into it. They really, really care about dicks, like you read about. It's like, they're fucking, they've got phallophobia or whatever it's called. Like, they hate it. They're like, your Cadillac is my own. I think that lady over there has got a dick. I like that. It's just like, what's wrong with you?
and then we're waving around photos of Hunter Biden's giant hog. It's just dicks all the way down for the Republicans.
Yeah, they love guns. The biggest culture issue right now is trans, and they're just like, make sure that people are using the right bathroom. It's just like, okay, but
they love the Washington Monument.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, who doesn't like? I mean, since the dawn of time, people have loved an obelisk, and I think, you know, Freud seems like he was full of shit in a lot of ways, but I mean, there is something nice about a nice big, like a nice big hard cylinder, you know? Yeah, like a big long strong tower. Yeah, it's like that movie Superbad where they make that joke about all the best foods being dick shaped. I'm just like, yeah, I kind of get that. I do like a lot of dick, quote unquote, dick shaped food.
Like what? What's your favorite one?
Bananas, hands down, dude. Like bananas, the king of fruit. All of the fruit can go home unless we need them for juices.
Yeah.
What about mangoes?
In my dystopian future, our banana overlords, like, all other fruits just go into the juice mines.
And the banana is obviously the best fruit because it's the atheist nightmare. So, I mean, it's just, oh my God.
Yeah, dude. It's a, like, it comes into like a self-contained single serving with its own wrapper that's biodegradable. It's fucking insane how good the banana is. And it still manages to taste good. Usually when you get that sort of convenience, you're just like, then it's kind of bitter and you can work with it and make it all right. It's like, no, banana comes out of the wrapper delightful.
Oh,
and then you can make bread with it if it goes bad.
For real.
Yep. I have to hear about potassium every time I'm eating a banana, and within 6 miles of my mother, if I'm eating a banana, my mom's like, there's a lot of potassium in bananas. And I'm like, I know, because every time I'm eating a banana, I hear about it from you, about the potassium. It's just, boom. I have to know that I'm obtaining lots of potassium from this banana.
Dude, potassium kit. Everybody loves it. Anyway.
Yes.
Okay, speaking of dick-shaped things, it's time to talk about the hottest new political ticket, and that's our buddy RFK Jr. and his dick-headed friend Aaron Rodgers. who are apparently decided that, you know what? They're going to set the political world on fire by being two idiots that can't get anything done together. But for more on this, I'm going to toss it over to Mike. Mike, what's going on with this horse shit?
Okay, so because RFK Jr. is running independent for president, he doesn't really have anything to do other than pick a vice president for his doomed campaign. And the reports are that the two leading candidates for him to be his vice president are Jesse Ventura, the disgraced former wrestler turned nutball, and now also Aaron Rodgers, who apparently in the reports is say that RFK Jr. is in quote unquote continuous talks of Aaron Rodgers about everything. And therefore Rodgers would be a primo get for the RFK Jr. ticket. To which I say, oh, for the love of God, let this fucking happen. Because boy howdy, would this Frankenstein's monster totally fuck the Republicans over if they actually went all in with this shit. Because the only thing you would know about RFK Jr. Rodgers ticket is that they really hate vaccines. And the only people that would vote for them are people who were going to vote for Trump and then decided that Trump was too big of a squish when it comes to vaccines.
This is a football guy?
Yes, he's a quarterback for the New York Jets who managed to play a total of like four plays for them before blowing out his Achilles and missing the entire year. And then he spent the entire year being on Pat McAfee's streaming radio show, ESPN broadcast, whatever, talking shit about Dr. Fauci, vaccines, and all that kind of stuff, and just being a giant dum-dum. So yeah, Aaron Rodgers is the best, and I wish him, I pray that RFK Jr. makes a decision to put him on the ticket. Because the funniest thing about it is that they start playing football in September, and the election isn't until November. How is Aaron Rodgers going to campaign while still playing football? Or is he just going to quit football?
Dude, he's going to say all he needs to say to the voters by throwing dimes, dude.
Great.
I think he's going to pick Rob Schneider.
Rob Schneider's
been campaigning for him. I'm not even kidding. I get Rob Schneider emails for some fucking goddamn reason. Because he lives here now. And his last two have been campaigning for RFK Jr. So I hope that's who's on the ticket.
Sounds awesome. That's much better for team good.
It says RFK Jr. / Stapler on the ballot.
Oh yeah, that'd be great. I mean, because if they're going to be spoiling for anybody, it's not going to be us. I don't know a lot of my liberal friends that are huge Rob Schneider fans, you know? And I've heard other people just be like, well, liberals are gonna, like, they do like Kennedys. And it's just like, I've never met a single fucking person that likes a Kennedy. What are you talking about?
Like, the Ted, yes? I mean, I've never, I may have voted once in my life for Ted Kennedy. I don't even remember if I did. Because he was just like literally the senator in perpetuity here in Massachusetts until he died. But his Kennedy recently ran for the Senate against Ed Markey, and like literally all the Bernie bros, all the Sanders people were like, fuck the Kennedy. Ed Markey is the bold choice of progressive liberals everywhere. So, like, the Kennedys even lost, like, the liberals. Like, no one... The guy got crushed. It was the first time a Kennedy had ever lost an election in Massachusetts. It was crazy. So it's, like, all of that allure that that name supposedly has, it doesn't have any staying power now. Like, we don't care. So...
If Mike doesn't care, nobody cares.
The thing is that... The Super Bowl ad where they stole JFK's ad and put RFK Jr. in it, like that ad was obviously crafted by right wing bags of shit to try to steal votes from Biden, because literally the entire ad was just the name Kennedy and then pictures of RFK Jr. and no discussion of what crazy shit he believes in. But the problem is if you let RFK Jr. actually talk for like 2 minutes, you realize the only people that would vote for him are conspiracy minded lunatics.
Okay,
and that hurts Trump.
When was Kennedy in office? Wasn't it like 1962? How many people are fucking old enough and voting that they'd just be like, oh, Kennedy name, good.
Rob Reiner.
Right. Exactly, Rob Reiner.
Where are these liberals? Like, where are these 85 to 90 year old liberals who will just get tricked into voting for RFK? And it's going to move the needle so much that here comes Donnie Trump. Thanks for spoiling it. Ah, you did it, baby. Like, what the fuck? What alternate dimension do these people live in where JFK's ghost still pulls weight with a 25-year-old liberal in 2024? They don't give a fuck about JFK.
Right. That's what's so ridiculous about it. Like the thing, if there was like some random dumb Kennedy in the Kennedy family who could run for president and never said anything, and Steve Bannon and a bunch of other right-wingers could put him up to it, maybe this thing would make a lick of sense. But you're putting a right-wing, conspiracy-minded lunatic up, and the moment that guy talks, the only people that want to vote for him are QAnon people. That's it. So, like, this is, like, the worst possible fucking play. It makes no sense. And if Aaron Rodgers or Rob Schneider or any of these guys are their vice president, all they're going to do is go on TV and be like, you know what, man? Fuck vaccines. COVID was bullshit. And it's like, nobody who thinks that way was voting for Biden in the first place. Nobody was like, you know, I was going to vote for Biden, but then I heard this guy screaming about vaccines, and I was like, you know, I like the cut of his jib. I'm going to vote his way instead. Like, it's just, like, there's just no Biden to RFK Jr. pipeline. It doesn't exist. Whereas there is a Trump to RFK Jr. pipeline. Like, that is a real thing. So it's,
yeah, this at is the so end of the day, this is good news for us, despite my ranting about it. It just seems so, like, the people that are writing articles that are still mentioning how that was supposed to be a big spoiler room for the left, I'm just like, what fucking dimension do you live in? Anyway, I mean, did you just, like, Google who, like, who might like a Kennedy? Ah, it says here, thank you. Okay, thank you. Excellent.
Right.
Yeah, so weird. Anyway, fuck Aaron Rodgers. Let's talk about a real celebrity, John Cena, and his nudity apparently causing waves. Mike, what's going on with John Cena and his nudity?
So at the Oscars, which Donald Trump whined about and Jimmy Kimmel gave him the razzle-dazzle at, John Cena was presenting for Best Costume, and as part of that bit, he strode onto stage apparently naked with only the envelope for the award covering his privates, and then they did a quick change and stuck a costume on him during the break, which was, like, supposed to be the whole costuming thing. But Cena traipsing about the stage naked led to a giant to-do on social media where people were talking about how this was an Illuminati humiliation ritual. That this is a thing that if you are a famous celebrity and you want to become more famous and more popular in Hollywood, you must debase yourself and shame yourself for the Illuminati's enjoyment, and that this is what happened to him. And people were bringing up, like, quotes from, like, Cat Williams about how, like, all the black guys that get famous in Hollywood have to wear dresses, and Dave Chappelle said stuff like along those lines, and everyone was like, I hope it was worth it, Cena. And it's like, you know,
he looked good, so maybe it wasn't that humiliating.
Oh yeah. It looked real good.
Maybe he was showing off.
Right, that's the thing that's so funny about to me is, like, this Illuminati humiliation ritual where you had to stride across the stage looking like a Greek statue with your 12
debasing yourself with your perfect male form.
Yeah, exactly.
In front of all the most beautiful women in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Everybody cheering.
Yeah,
right.
The front row is literally, like, Florence Pugh and Emma Stone and just, like, all these, like, top show, like, actresses that are there to receive their awards for also being incredible at their craft. Just, like, up there applauding and laughing at the fact that you're doing this funny bit. And look at him! I mean, yeah, it's so good.
Yeah.
My favorite part about all that was that behind-the-scenes photo that leaked by from an anonymous source. You might just call him the Oscars, to make sure that there was no confusion as to whether or not John Cena was ever fully nude. Like, that behind the scenes photo leak, quote unquote leaked, that showed that he was wearing, like, a combination beige jockstrap, like, thong diaper thing. So there was absolutely no way that there could be a wardrobe malfunction and that you could ever see his cock and balls. It was, like, literally the moment that bit happened online, they were just like, behind the scenes photo leaked to make sure that there's no way John Cena was ever really naked, guys. I mean, come on. And it's just like, whoa, you guys are really touchy after last year. That's crazy. And the Al Pacino thing was also hilarious.
Yeah. My eyes see.
Fuck your nominees.
fuck your nominees. Oppenheimer wins this shit. I'm out.
Fuck your foreplay. Straight to the penetration.
Did you watch the Oscars? Did either of you watch it?
No, I've seen clips on the TikTok because I have a commute into work that is TikTok friendly.
That's good.
Yeah, I basically watched the Oscars through the prism of social media. I got to see the word humiliation trending on Twitter, which made me laugh because I realized that, like, fucking idiot conspiracy theorists are now getting their dumb words broadcasting. And this humiliation ritual... Yeah, this humiliation ritual thing is just a continuation of, like, the further, quote-unquote, signs of the Illuminati, because before you had the eyeball thing, and then after, like, people putting circles around their eyes or obscuring their eyes, the next thing that came up was the left eye club or the black eye club, where, like, famous celebrities or politicians having black eyes were, like, proof that the Illuminati had, like, injured them in private and then forced them to walk around with their injury to show their subservience to the Illuminati.
The Illuminati injured them in private.
Yes, the Illuminati, like, the Illuminati says, hey, come here, kid. They walk you into a room, then they just give you a pop. They just go, pat, and you're like, ah, you hit me in the eye. And they're like, yeah, now you're going to walk around with that shiner for a couple weeks and let everybody know the Illuminati.
God damn it, Illuminati, not again.
Yes. Fucking abusive relationship with the Illuminati we have.
I know. But it makes you famous.
They pay the bills, so what are we going to
do?
Yep.
As much as I'd love to keep talking about John Cena's rippling muscles, unfortunately, we must move on because we are running short on time.
Well, I mean,
relative to the length of the episode and the amount of stuff we have to talk about, including your personal segment, which I'm segueing into, the Arizona Madness Recap Update of the Week! With Haley, aka Arizona Right Watch, time to find out what's popping in the wonderful state of Arizona besides six guns. Cowboy! Shot! Come on now!
And sandworms. So.
Yeah. Yep, that's exactly Arizona. And also, don't forget the Saguaro.
The what now?
But anyway, we're unfortunately going to be talking about Carrie Lake, who's running for U.S. Senate, because the media is obsessed with Carrie Lake, therefore everybody's obsessed with Carrie Lake, because it's just what's in your face.
Everybody hated that.
I'm sorry.
It's not your fault. I mean, she sucks.
Yeah. She does suck. Yeah. There's this, like, funny game going on in the media right now where they're like, is she being more moderate now? And it's like, no, she's actually not. Can we stop with this? Like, the New York Times was like, Katie Hobbs, Carrie Lake tries new tactic, mending fences. And it's like, no, she's not. She's still a nightmare. Currently, there's like a, you know, like all those election denial movies. There was the Deep Rig and there was the one about
2000 Mules.
Yeah, Mules. Stuff. That's a good one. The one about Tina Peters.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah. Well, anyway, there's a new one called State of Denial, and it's about the Carrie Lake, like, Kraken lawsuits and how she actually won the election, and she's doing a little state tour with that right now. So she's still on the election denial train. Very funny stuff is that the AZ Supreme Court has denied Carrie's request to drop the defamation case that Stephen Richer is pursuing. That's the Maricopa County Recorder, who's just
right.
He faces so many threats, you know. Just every week, he's public enemy number one. And they denied that, so the lawsuit moves forward. So this will be interesting because there's always been this kind of mystery who's running the Carrie Lake accounts. There's some rumors. This will probably unmask that person or persons who helps operate that. So that'll be interesting. Richard's
being a griper.
It's definitely going to be a guy. It's going to be someone super cool. It's someone's maybe. There'll be cool people behind it. It'll be super cool.
Yeah.
Not racists. Or anything.
No.
Definitely not.
Yeah.
But yeah, Richard responded to the Supreme Court denying her the case get dropped with a gif from Happy Madison. He's throwing a dodgeball. I don't get this reference, but it says now you're all in big, big trouble. And he said this will all make sense. So
so he thinks he's got the goods is what you're what this is saying.
He thinks he's got the got this in the bag. So yeah, there's also been kind of like, I don't know, Carrie's kind of trying to mend this. She was super, you know, anti-choice when she was initially running, just like no abortion ever. And now she's pretending that like, well, in the case of the life of a mother and rape and incest, you know, we can all agree on that one, because she's kind of semi trying to not sound like a total extremist demon in some forms, but like that's not her position. She's like saying this shit and then going on Bannon, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So that's the little Carrie Lake update. There also seems to be some drama with when she did that secret public recording of Jeff DeWitt, the former AZGOP chairman. Because when she recorded him, it was during a time when she was technically working for him, for this company called Superfeed Technologies, which basically makes apps for like politicians like Carrie Lake. And she failed to disclose that they were like making the app for her, even though they were also paying her. And also she was working for this company, and Jeff DeWitt, the guy she just secretly recorded, was the CEO at the time. So there's like extra drama involved with that leaked recording happening. So yeah, that's the little Carrie Lake update. She sucks. Yay. And I hope she loses.
We all think she sucks, and we all hope that she loses.
Is yes. that what you hope?
Yes. Vote for Ruben Gallego. Donate Thank money
you.
To him.
Thank you for
yes.
saying it, so I don't have to.
I don't know who that is. But vote for him. I guess yes. that's cooler. I guess he's the guy, so do that.
Ruben yeah, Gallego is the person running against Carrie Lake, and if you are a voter in Arizona and you do that kind of thing, you do that
just
thing.
You know what? Even if you're not in Arizona, Mike just have to vote his way.
I don't. Yeah. I don't endorse losers, but you know, I mean, not saying he's going to lose. I just
wow.
mean he's
and of course, you're endorsing him. You're on this podcast
I'm trying
with
to
us.
Be nice.
You're on this podcast with
okay.
us. So it's
he's
the
fine.
Biggest loser he endorsement sucks. You could possibly give to anyone.
Carrie sucks. Cool. It's fine.
Okay.
Thank you, Mike.
Speaking of a potential loser, let's get into our cues in the news.
From the digital headlines to the digital front lines, it's cues in the news.
Potential future loser and current old man Dark Brandon awoke from his slumber to address the union. That's right. The
Did you
Democrats,
watch this, Mike?
They managed to pump Sleepy Joe with enough of a cocktail of God knows what to give him some real pep in his step for the length of the address, which is pretty nice. So, yeah. Let's. Did you watch this one live, Mike? Did you get to see this? Did you like this?
It was fine. I enjoyed it. I mean, the main thing about this is that it's this really awesome cycle that we have with the right-wing media and all these people where you start with the idea that Biden has dementia and can barely walk and stutter his way through a speech. And then he gives a speech that is actually good and representative. And then the Republicans are like, oh, he was hopped up on those drugs that fight dementia. And then after a week after the speech is over, then they immediately go right back to their talking points that Biden is old, feeble, and senile. And then Biden disproves it. And then they say, oh, no, that was the drugs. And it's just, well, if they have the drugs and the drugs defeat the dementia every time Biden needs it, then I guess the deep state's just better than you because they have the good drugs that make their guy actually function properly.
Yeah, this is a good time to mention or ask. Did you guys see that the people play that 1 minute clip of Donald Trump like brain breaking during that like House meeting or whatever?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. The during the HERS hearings. Like, yeah, one of the Democrats was just like, oh, yeah, by the way, here's Donald Trump being a fucking senile, drooling moron. And just, and
I love his inability to say anonymous, which has got to be, which has got to be real, real fun to like the fucking the QAnon people. Cause, you know, they'd much rather just be, cause, you know, there's no Q. There's yes. no QAnon. There's Q and there's anonymous. But yeah. to, for it'd be like, I don't know about Q. It's so funny just watching him fucking try. And the best part is, like, watching that clip highlighted that he will try a thing exactly twice and then just power through if he beats it. There are, like, multiple times during that clip he just gives something a run up and he fucks it up. Then he tries to recover, fucks it up again, and just powers through. That's so funny.
Like, yeah, two bites of the apple and I'm calling it a day. And that's the thing, is what L's saying here is that the whole right wing defense is that Biden's got these drugs that ward off his dementia. And it's like, well, then we got the better drugs because your guy can't do it. Your guy can't give a speech like that. It's like, oh my God, I mean, as horrible as it's going to be, when the Republican National Convention happens and Trump gives his like 90-minute stem winder of a speech, it's just going to be so awesome when, like, his brain just short circuits and he just goes on his stem winders where he just can't help himself, because that's what he always does. He like starts on teleprompter and then after like 5-10 minutes he gets bored and he just starts riffing. And his riffs just take him wherever they take him. Yeah, he doesn't know where the plane's landing when he starts flying. He's just going to land it somewhere. And I mean, like, that whole speech is just literally going to be a campaign ad for Biden. It's going to be the greatest. And
yeah, say what you will about how Mr. President Dark Brandon got up there. What cocktail you think the Illuminati pumped him full of to get him over the goal line? His performance, at the very least, gave one notable woman magic flute voice, to quote Brad Neely, and the whole world got to watch. And in one single voice, everyone agreed, we're going to make fun of this lady for at least a whole week. And this is the tail end of that week, but we're still in it. So, Mike, who is this lady, and how excellent was her response?
And why does it matter that she was in a kitchen?
Because bitches love kitchens. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, dude, she's projecting strong bitch day in the kitchen energy to her base. She's just like, she wants them to know that as soon as she's done pearl clutching over the Dark Brandon State of the Union, she's gonna get right back to baking cookies or whatever.
Yeah, she's gonna make a trad wife TikTok where she's like, yeah, making Oreos from scratch. Yeah, exactly.
Making that grilled cheese from scratch. Did you see that one?
I have not seen the grilled cheese from scratch. I saw the Oreos from scratch, which was just like, Jesus Christ, lady.
Like, she made the cheese from scratch. I was like, I'm not. That's too much time.
Did she fucking milk the cow? I mean, like,
it was a whole process. She was making the butter from scratch. I was like, too much time. There's a day.
I don't know what TikToks you guys are watching, but to be fair, there is one chef on YouTube whose whole gimmick is overcomplicating some snack food by trying to figure out how to make it at home. Her name is Claire Saffitz. She used to be on Bon Appetit before they had their brown face scandal that imploded their whole operation. But yeah, like her gimmick was never advocating for doing it yourself. It was just like a funny exercise for content or whatever. But yes, it always did seem completely fucking laborious. And at the end of the day, it was just like, oh yeah, it does pretty much taste like whatever you were trying to make.
That tastes like a sandwich.
Yeah. Like, oh yeah, that does kind of taste like a Dorito. And she's been working on it for like fucking 36 hours over 4 days.
So Katie Britt was the name of our tradwife influencer that did the response to the State of the Union. She's a senator from Alabama. And just about everything about her presentation, between the empty kitchen, her really weird, creepy voice, which was documented and dissected as something called like Fundy baby voice, which is a weird speaking thing that women in that movement do. All of that was dissected. She went into this very graphic, violent story about sex trafficking and blamed Joe Biden for what happened in America. But then people did research and found the person that was talking to Katie Britt. And the these crimes happened during the George W. Bush administration. They also happened in Mexico. So, like, literally none of what she said had any relevance at all to Joe Biden's border policy. It's
Sound of Freedom all over again.
Oh, yeah. It was just absolute Sound of Freedom game of telephone bullshit. It was just, like, this event actually did happen, and now we're just going to lie about literally all of it. And this got debunked so aggressively that even the Saturday Night Live cold open with Scarlett Johansson brought up the fact that she was fucking lying about this shit. So it's like when, like, SNL, a comedy show, like, feels the need to, like, step in and be like, oh yeah, by the way, she was wrong about literally everything she said. That's, like, probably a pretty bad sign for your story. So all of that happened, and now she's playing the victim online and screaming that the mean Democrats and the evil liberals are trying to cancel her, even though she had a really, like, again, staging was weird and creepy. Her voice was weird and creepy.
Yeah, dude, she was doing everything she could to project big victim energy. And, like, now she's sort of, like, paying the price for that, because for the people it worked on, I mean, it's going to just make you look like a victim. But for the people that it didn't work on, which was almost all of us, it's just going to make you look like a buffoon. Like some sort of buffoon, like, sending in an audition tape for, like, a Real World or whatever, you know? Like, just make a look at the range of emotions I could have between, like, almost crying out of rage and almost crying out of sadness and almost crying out of fear. And it's just like, okay, well, I don't know why you're just trying to, like, audition for Prey in a horror movie or whatever, but you're nailing it. Your ability to almost cry is really getting in there.
Yeah, like the clip that I saw, like, repeated over and over again on social media was where she was just like, President Biden's border policies. And it was just like, why are you talking that way? Like, why are you chewing on every syllable?
Sounded like Malcolm's friend from Malcolm in the Middle. There's a fucking dude. How's that reference for you? If you get that reference, you're over 30, guaranteed. Bing.
Yeah. So this was a train wreck. And the other event that happened in response to Dark Brandon's State of the Union was that Donald Trump made a comment about how, yeah, I got those fucking vaccines done like you fucking read about. Biden wouldn't have been able to do that shit. I did it. Which immediately got the hackles of QAnon and all the right wingers up. Alex Jones was, like, screaming, turning even redder than he usually, that giant tomato usually is. RFK went after him. So, yeah, it's really awesome that, like, literally the only good thing Trump did in his entire presidency, Operation Warp Speed, is, like, an albatross being hung around his neck by his most feverish supporters, who are just like, no, the one good thing you did was actually bad because we hate vaccines because we're dumb. And it's like, oh, my God. It's just like, what is wrong with you people? It's just awesome. It's just absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, it's a clown show. And you love to see it, but at the end of the day, I'd say that it's a certified dub for the Democrats on this one. I mean, you know, Dark Brandon showed up, he said a bunch of good stuff. I mean, obviously the progressives hated it because he wasn't just like, and also in my capacity as president, I'm dissolving Israel. Israel's no more. Israel is no more, and all people in Israel are immediately asleep, and we're peacefully arresting them right now with no harm to anyone else. Because that's how they want that to go down, apparently. And
I saw a tweet where people were like, people in Netanyahu's government claim that Biden is trying to overthrow them, and the person's reply was 400 electoral votes. Just, yeah, if Dark Brandon actually toppled the Israeli government and got a ceasefire that way, then just boom. The greatest person who ever lived.
Yeah, that'd be great. I mean, you know, obviously the fucking situation over there there sucks. And it really does highlight the fact that our policy regarding that region of the world sucks in a lot of ways. But I don't super know what they want Dark Brandon to do all of a sudden that it would just make it worse. Like, hey, fuck y'all. We're not giving y'all shit anymore. They're just like, cool. Now we're getting antsy with nukes. That's fun. Because, you know, Russia's over there already getting antsy with some nukes. So, like, let's just destabilize that region, baby. that would be super cool. But, yeah, overall a dub for Brandon. It sucks that he wasn't coming down harder on Israel. But, again, like, you know, just in the realistic nature of the world, that situation is too sticky for him to denounce them too hard, too publicly, all at once. So that's cool. Speaking of cool shit that happened, the Tate brothers got arrested again. Hooray!
This is so funny.
This is hilarious because, like, dude, this is their second arrest, and both of them, they have been pinched by hilarious bullshit. Like, these guys are the worst fucking criminals ever. The first time it was a pizza box, and this time it was just literally one of their friends on a kick stream, I think.
Aiden Ross. He's a very popular streamer, unfortunately, but...
I saw enough headlines of this back-to-back that I pieced together most of it myself. But yeah, so apparently, like, this very popular, like, kick streamer or whatever just, like, got a text from the Tate brothers, and he was just talking about it on his stream, and he's just like... Yeah, they're telling me that if I want to go do live streaming with them, it's got to be soon because they're going to be fleeing the country and stuff. So that's pretty cool. So then the police were just like, knock, knock, who's there? It's time to arrest you because we know you're trying to flee the country.
Yes. Yeah. So the United Kingdom has arrested the Tate brothers for... crimes of quote-unquote sexual aggression, which right-wingers are like, what does that even mean? And it's like, it's probably just Britain's term for sexual assault. It's really not that hard. I was
bro, able... if you hear that a guy got arrested in a country that is now your own for the crime of sexual aggression, and your immediate response is, well, what does that even fucking mean, bro? Like, come on, dude. Like, well, that could be anything. Like, fucking go to therapy.
Yeah.
You need therapy, dude.
Yeah.
Like, your mother and father fucked up, and they did not do enough of a job, or society fucked you up somehow. Like, you got fucked up. You need therapy, dude.
Like, it may not be entirely self-explanatory, but it's definitely bad.
It's just like, right. I would propose to those people, okay, you seem like you're sort of offended. I want you to tell me what an appropriate sexual aggression is. And go. tell me something that could be classified under the umbrella of sexual aggression that you're just like, yeah, that's fucking awesome. And like, whatever answer they give you, it's not gonna be good. It's gonna be pretty bad. Like, well, you're in a bar, she said no, but you get like a vibe, and you're just like, okay, well, this conversation's over.
Yeah, so my favorite part about all of this is that these right-wing sacks of shit who are either QAnon or QAnon adjacent, they always talk about how we're here to save the children, we're here to stop sex trafficking, that's the reason why we exist. And then the Tate brothers are just being arrested by various and sundry countries all over Europe for sex trafficking. And the QAnon people are just like, this is bullshit, they're being railroaded, this is... And it's like, have you followed this story literally at all? There are so many women that have fallen prey to the Tates and their scams and have been manipulated and used and have been part of this whole operation of sex trafficking, of stealing people's money through catfishing. Like, this is literally a criminal enterprise. And like, when Andrew Tate was doing all this shit, at the start of it all, he was like, I'm moving to Romania because their laws are really weak and I'll be able to get away with it better. And then he moved to Romania. And even they were like, no, what you're doing is wrong and bad. And we're now arresting you for it. So it's just, oh my God. So congratulations, dum-dums, for literally telling people that can't keep their mouths shut that you are getting ready to flee Romania, thusly allowing Britain to swoop in and arrest you for crimes in their jurisdiction. So now, no matter what you do, you're going to face trials somewhere for something. So, like, big ups to you, you idiots.
Yeah. Way to fail the old pickle, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You got pickled and then you got tagged. It happens, you know?
Yes. Yep.
Sucks exactly. To suck. And that's my one baseball reference fucking quota for the year or whatever.
You big baseball guy? Decade.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like, sometimes that thing is a home run, you know? I tend to go to slam dunk, but Sometimes I think it's a home run or a grand slam.
Yeah.
Anyway, speaking of things that are not home runs nor grand slams, Donald Trump. It's time. Of course, we weren't done talking about him. We never are.
Cool.
Crooked pigeons, etc. It's time to talk about how Donald Trump has taken over the RNC. So, Mike, tell us how he took over the very much non-crooked RNC.
The straight shooting Republican National Committee is now staffed by Laura Trump. So now Trump has a family member running the alleged Republican fundraising apparatus, and they've made it clear that they're literally just doing this to turn the RNC into a Trump piggy bank that he can then just take all the money out of as he sees fit. On top of this, they have stated that they're laying off 60 staffers from the RNC. So basically anyone who knew what the fuck they were doing is going to be out of a job right quick. And the most QAnon fun part of all of this is that Christina Bob, who was one of the people that wanted to seize a voting machine.
She was a Trump lawyer who was part of the Cyber Ninjas audit. She went to ASU, Arizona State University. Shout out.
Doing your state proud. She was in on the seizing of the voting machines. She signed a letter to the DOJ saying that there were no government documents at Mar-a-Lago when there fucking were. She is now part of the RNC as a senior counsel for election integrity.
No way.
She's done QAnon talk shows. She's described herself as a conspiracy theorist. This is as close as we're getting to putting Sidney Powell in a position of actual power. Like she's just like a couple steps below Mike Lindell and Sidney Powell in the nutty pilled universe of people. So like this is this glorious moment where the QAnon people are actually now getting into the levers of power inside the Trump campaign. I can only wait for when Trump finally breaks down and hires Laura Loomer to do something for him. Because that's been her life stream. And Lord knows Trump will eventually cave because he's a spineless jellyfish. And if you flatter him enough, he'll let you do something because that's how he operates. So yeah, this is not great. Not great for sane people, but it probably is great for the Democrats because again, the Republicans, they're just going to take all this money that's being donated to the Republicans and just give it to Trump's lawyers and give it to everything that he's doing to fight all his lawsuits. And that $500 million settlement he has to make with New York, probably going to come from the RNC at this point. I mean, this is just literal theft. This is just legalized stealing of money by the Trump family from Republican donors. So,
I mean, if he has to pay $500 million out of that fund to pay off his legal fees, that's going to make it really hard to campaign with that money. So,
right, exactly.
Let's fucking go. I mean, I guess.
Yes, 100%. I mean, please, let's do this. I'm a huge fan of how ridiculously dumb this whole situation is. Like, every post about the current cash on hand between the Democrat, the DNC, the RNC, and the Biden campaign and the Trump campaign is just like the Democrats and Biden flush with cash, the Republicans and Trump not so much. And so Lord knows how any of this will actually impact anything because people's minds are kind of made up about this stuff, but there's people out there that are low information voters that are squishes, and if you just see a million ads a day reminding you that Donald Trump's a huge piece of shit, that has to have some impact on you. So, yeah, so that's going to be fun. This is going to be a real shit year, period. So I hope we get to have, good times like this. And
are we in the good times right now?
No, we're not. But, I mean, hopefully there'll be better times in a week or two when Trump's first trial starts. That's going to be fun to see him sitting there seething as he has to have his crimes revealed to the world. So that'll be nice.
Can I talk about just a weird observation I had that I forgot to mention during the Dark Brandon thing? Because we didn't talk about Marjorie Taylor Greene at all. So let's circle around that and talk about Marjorie Taylor Greene for a second. She showed up to this thing. Well, I'll let Mike describe it. Mike, how would you describe her fit?
She had a MAGA cap on, and she had I believe she was wearing the shirt of the girl that was allegedly killed by someone who was an undocumented person in America. That's the new right wing, like, reason to be mad at immigrants. And when Dark Brandon saw her, he did like a double take, like, whoa, what is this crazy lady doing? And that was awesome. And she was all like, say her name. Oh, I'm angry and dumb. And it's like, oh, God, this performative theater nonsense from Marjorie Taylor Greene, which
I think Sleepy Joe could have fucking won a bunch of votes if he cognitively and sarcastically said, I think it was Breonna Taylor. Anyway, it would have had to have been clear that he wasn't just having like a neuron misfire, you know, like it would have had to have been pretty poignant, but Dark Brandon was in the room. Sleepy Joe was packed away for the night. So I feel like he could have got there. Anyway, YSL, circling back around, talk about MTG's horrible fit. Certainly it's not just because he used to want to smash, and that's true. That's not why I'm doing it. Those times are over.
Oh, man.
The reason I'm doing it, I mean, for a while, she was just like CrossFit, blonde, you know, whatever. But then we were getting off track. The reason I do want to talk about it is because in all that footage and stuff and the photos that I saw, it was pretty stark. Like, everybody in the room looking the way they did, generally being appropriately dressed for the occasion in terms of that culture. And then her standing out with her big dumb red cap and her stupid idiot, like, clown costume, right? And it, for whatever reason, it just started to, it just struck me all at once. I was just like, literally, historically, that pop of red is associated with enemies of the United States of America. The fucking, the British, the Nazis, the Russians, like, that color was a fucking bold choice. Like, when I saw that, I was like, that Nazi bitch. And it wasn't just because she's MTG. It was also just because it's just like, you know, a room full of other people. You're up there being loud fucking with your red pop of color. It's just like, you know, our culture is determined that that's the color of our fucking enemies. Like, Japan? Look at their flag. Yep. Like, dude, like, there are bros now, but we had to paddle their ass into being our bros. We had to do fucked up war crime shit to make them our bros.
We had to make a movie that won Best Picture to like, but that talked about how we used the literal power of the sun to subdue them. So, yeah. Yes.
It was just a weird thing. And like, I know that red's not strictly associated with evil stuff, but in that moment, that was exactly where my mind went. I was just like, we killed you redcoat asses when you were the Brits, and we fucking smoked you when you were the fucking Nazis. And back in the 80s when we were still cool, we made it pretty clear that Russia couldn't fuck with us. Now it's 2024, and because of clowns like you, Nazis are coming back, Russia's getting punchy. Like, I can't wait for fucking Britain to invade us. This is gonna be incredible.
That's what's happening. This whole Kate Middleton thing is a fucking setup for the invasion. We're all distracted. Britain's got us looking at the right hand. Boom, the left hand sneaks in. Yeah. Oh, no.
Donald Trump is going to win re-election in a squeaker. And then once the deed is done, he's going to pull the Mission Impossible mask off. And it's just going to be fucking her. That's going to be great. I can't wait for that. He's just going to be like, guess what? Britain owns you now.
No, we've been betrayed.
As my first order of business, a heavy attacks on tea. Boo. That's what they've always wanted. That's all they care about.
They finally did it. They finally got the tea tax in.
That might be the stupidest joke we've ever done, or I've ever done. You were just along for the ride. I'm not going to drag you into that one. Okay, on to our listener mailbag.
Our listeners got questions, we got answers. It's time for Q&A.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands.
They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Eric, the deep state operative, says, if you were in charge of the deep state one day, what would you do with the infinite power, wealth, and resources?
I mean, chill.
Smoke weed?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, fucking smoke dank ganja with celebrities because I had access. I'd just be like, hey, Snoop Dogg, come smoke weed with me. I demand it. You were my Illuminati puppet, and I demand to hang out with you. I don't know. I feel like is it having your hand on the fucking pulse of the deep state? Like, it means that you can do stuff, but it's sort of like a slow boat, right? I couldn't just be like, you know, I would just be like, well, first things first. Like, I wasn't talking about that constitutional revision thing. Like, let's take a look at it, bro. Let's like, boom. Or first order of business, we're taking a look at this one. We're gonna figure this out. Actually, first order of business, all your lifetime appointments are null and void. Get your asses out of here. Fuck off. How long have you served? 10 years? Go away. You're done.
Hit the showers.
Yeah, there's like a ton of stuff I would do. But the thing is that like, if the deep state was really capable of that, that they could just do that stuff. But that's why they have to be like tricky and behind the scenes, man. Like subtle, like a slow burn, like a crock pot of having their boot on your throat. Crock pot.
I really didn't think we were going to get the ASMR whisper of crockpot today, but we did. So I appreciate that.
So I have like infinite power and infinite resources. I mean, obviously basically, I would share it, you know, but that's the boring answer. But since I have infinite power, I would also take out all heads of state. I'm not saying kill. I'm just saying we would get rid of them all. And that's what I would do with my infinite power. And then everybody would also have their needs met. Because and we don't need you fucks anymore. You know what I'm saying?
You're just turning the world into a socialist utopia. Because like,
we'll that's pretend like... that'll be what happens. But I think people should just have their needs met, and then we'll see where it goes from there.
Yeah.
A new world. Like the... Reset. I'll turn the internet off too, probably.
I laugh mostly because that's like one of QAnon's favorite things. Is like when they turn off the internet, you know it's gone down.
When Haley takes over.
Yeah. Oh no, she did it. Oh shit, it's Haley. It finally happened. She turned off the internet. Now what do we do? Now where do we go? Yeah. It's really funny because Elle and Haley kind of like covered all the bases where it's just sort of like, on the one hand, do you remodel the world in your image? Or on the other hand, do I just make famous people play Settlers of Catan with me? Like, what is the actual goal here? So
I'm not trying to remake it too much in my image. I'm just saying, no heads of state. Everybody, here's your resources met. Oh. You guys do what you're going to do. We'll see how this all works out.
Oh, yeah. But and then,
nuclear
but
disarmament then once, also.
Yeah. Well, once your day ends, we immediately we get heads of state immediately.
Was this
right
only
after.
A day? Was that what ask was?
Yeah, if you had
one day, God damn it.
Okay. Well, first things first. I'm taking 30% of the national defense budget for the next like year, and I'm transferring it directly into my accounts, and then I'm shaving another 10 or 15% off of it, and that's going straight into research and development for full dive VR, because we all know the thing I want more than anything is upload. That's the first step. So. And I'm going to put that, I'm going to hire a fucking fleet of lawyers that are going to work all day for 24 hours to make sure that the paperwork for that can never be undone short of like a nuclear holocaust that erases all records of existence. Like it's happening. This money is going to be for that in perpetuity and fuck off until it works. There's your incentive. You want your fucking gun money back? Give me my fucking full dive VR and or upload. I want it. I want it before I die.
Also, one for Mike, I would declassify the rest of the JFK documents.
That's for Rob Reiner. I don't give a shit about that
shit. You don't care? You wouldn't care? You would care about the subsequent podcast that would happen after they were
declassified. Oh, I would care about the content, but like, for me, I just think that like there's just no there there. Whatever documents come out, whatever. It's not going to make anyone happy.
What about Joe Giannides? You don't care about Joe Giannides?
Haley just sort of reminded me that what I really want more than anything, and that's because, like, you know, at my heart, maybe I'm just, I'm not a bad person, but I'm not the greatest person. I'm not a saint. I would just want to rob the government fucking blind. I just want to set myself up with a bunch of government money. I want to rob them of a bunch of government secrets so I can know, like, what actually is at Area 51? Like, do we fucking have a UFO? That'd be pretty cool. Like, all sorts of shit. Lizard people, yes? Wild. Who'd have guessed? Like, you know, just sitting there, like, thumbing through some documents and just being like, huh, that'd be pretty cool. But just for me, not to try to take down anybody or do anything. It's only a day. You know, 24 hours is time. Yeah. I forgot about the only a day part.
Yeah. What if we declassify?
Smash and grab. Smash, baby, and grab.
What if we declassify, Mike, and we find a book written by the CIA that's just If I Did It? And it's...
Yeah. We just have Chucky the Typewriter's If I Did It on the Kennedy assassination.
You're going to fucking get down to a, like, you find, like, in the Oval Office, there's, like, a secret elevator that leads down to, like, one of those, like, super sci-fi movie, like, all metal chambers, and, like, the door on the other end opens up, and, like, billows a bunch of steam. It's, like, brightly backlit, so you see a silhouette, and a figure steps through it, and it's just JFK, and he's just, like, mad old, and he's just, like, I got some shit to tell you, and I was never assassinated. I am the Illuminati King. He's just like, oh god, wrong and right, yes, kind of, but not as right as he knew, or not as wrong as he wished.
Yes, I'd be so great. I'm here for that. I'm here to find out the dark truth of ancient Kennedy. That'd be the greatest.
Emperor Kennedy Palpatine.
Yes.
Do it.
Oh god. So thank you for that question that went horribly off the rails, as they usually do.
Yeah, we definitely answered that one normal.
Cleodora Silva Street, the Hellworld Grand Inquisitor, says Trump still does the double hand drop dance, but no longer to the tune of YMCA. Who do you suppose had to sit him down and explain that YMCA is a gay anthem about gay men having gay sex in the gay shower at the gay gym?
It still plays. If you go to his rallies, there's unfortunately like a playlist that repeats. So if you're there for multiple hours, you'll hear that playlist. Like kind of like how your work is, Mike. How you just kind of hear the same music all day.
Everyone's fucking mistaken. It couldn't possibly be a gay anthem. The fucking Christian is in the title, dude.
You're right.
Right. Yes.
You know?
Yes. Yeah, these are
also young men.
Oh god. Yeah. I do enjoy the Trump double hand job dance, his pathetic attempt at rhythm and movement. But the problem for me now is that the music that I most associate with him is the goddamn QAnon music that they play at the end of all of his rallies. And it's just, it is so fucked up to me how normalized that shit is. Because it's literally a dog whistle to QAnon. And yet I'll see like mainstream reporters saying, as somber music played in the background, Trump gave the closing remarks in his campaign rally. It's like, it's not somber music. It's not sad music. It's fucking QAnon music. Call it what it is.
Call him out, Mike. Call him out on the time. You quote tweet them and then you say, hey, you dumbass.
I do. I do. I reply to all these accounts and I say that. I'm like, this is a QAnon song. It's nothing else. You call it that directly.
We did it, but it's like, there's no QAnon, there's Q, and there's a Mamamis. There's no QAnon.
There's no Q a Mamamis. Yes, exactly.
QAnon, I've never heard of them, but I hear they like me, so, you know.
Snorlax CPAP asks, is there a Q drop that they will try and tie to the classified documents that will be found in the grave in New York, in New Jersey, to spin as only good guys bury documents? So now this is the Ivanka Trump coffin having the documents in it, conspiracy theory pushed by Blue Anon and stuff like that. There is no Q drop that I know of that really talks about the documents and stuff like that, because the documents crimes they really came up after Q called it a day, because Q was a giant lazy slime ball who didn't really talk about that kind of stuff. Mainly when it came to this kind of shit, Q's whole thing was declass, where we're going to declassify all the documents. And that was going to bring down the deep state when they exposed all the truth of what was going on behind the scenes. And then the declass never happened. And the only thing that the declass got used for was, oh, when they indicted Trump for the documents, he'd already declassified them with his mind powers. So there is no secondary justification. Like, if we actually did break open the grave and we did find documents inside of it, that would be QAnon's dodge. Like, oh, he already declassified those. Because, again, he has presidential immunity, God brain powers, where he can do anything he wants whenever he wants. And Dark Brandon doesn't have those powers because reasons. So, yeah, whatever.
Well, there we go.
That was a mic question.
Yeah, that was a mic question, and it's hard for me to make any funny cheese out of it. No, I don't care. So sometimes they have to be on topic, I guess.
Well, the good news is our final question is an L question from Mebad, which is, since I do the conspiracy questions mostly, I'm going to do one for L. What is the best type of pizza? Is Chicago style pizza a pizza or a casserole?
I'm assuming you mean Chicago deep dish, although there are like a few different regional variations that I'm sure Chicagoans would argue is quote unquote Chicago pizza.
I've never had that kind of pizza.
Some of those people would also argue, even themselves, that a deep dish is not a pizza. And then they would point to like their more traditional, like local Chicago style. I mean, look, it's just sort of like fucking everything. Is it a pizza? Sure. Why the fuck not? A Chicago deep dish is, it's got all the ingredients of a pizza. You can make an argument that it's a pizza. It's delicious, so who gives a fuck? Because it's not even close to in contention for the best pizza. It's not close, because the best pizza is, always has been, and probably always will be, from New York City. And I'm not from New York, but their style of pizza, like where I am from, if I can go to a place and get a quote unquote Brooklyn style pizza, like a local place that does it the right way, that's where I want to go for pizza. I'm either going to go there, or I'm going to go to some like artisanal place that does it with like the real thin crust and the locally sourced ingredients and this and that. And, you know, that's a different variation. But like, dude, Brooklyn style pizza, for my money, for sure, the best slice. You know what I mean? It doesn't necessarily have to be from New York. I'm sure that there are probably places that do that style just as good as New York. And I'm sure that if we have any listeners in New York City, they're falling over themselves right now because they're just like, what about our precious water? If your water's good, you're not like, you don't have the monopoly on a good water. Other places could have good water, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, so for my money, it would be Brooklyn style. As for toppings, my personal favorite pizza of all time is called the Buffalo Chicken Royal Hawaiian. It's buffalo chicken, ham, bacon, pineapple, and maraschino cherries.
What the hell?
Brooklyn style, fired up. Did I mention the buffalo chicken that goes on there too? Buffalo chicken.
Yeah, but the cherries.
Hell yeah, cherries on top, dude. Wow. That pop of intense sweetness with the heat from the buffalo chicken, man, good.
Where do you get that? What is
your toppings for your pizzas, Haley?
I like all the peppers, jalapeno, just green peppers. I like mushrooms. I like olives. Pepperoni's fine. It's fine. Whatever. The meat's fine.
Yeah.
I like jalapenos on pizza, though.
Jalapenos are good, yeah.
I'm a meat lovers. I mostly, pepperoni is like kind of my least favorite meat on a pizza. I like meatball, bacon, ham, like all that kind of stuff. If you put pepperoni on it, that's fine. I'll have it. But just literally just turn the pizza slice into a meat conveyance tool and I will be happy.
It's mainly meat.
Thankfully, in my area, there is a, in my town specifically, there's a place that had the best sandwiches in town. It's still open, but they opened, that's the same owner of that place recently opened a pizzeria, and I finally got a chance to try it, and it's a pretty good pie. I mean, like, that place is pretty nice. One of the slices I got was like porticino and pickled peppers, pickled jalapenos and some other stuff, a different thing that started with P, pineapple, I believe. So it was like sort of like a more savory, like Hawaiian or whatever, with like a, or sort of a more vinegary Hawaiian, I should say, because of the pickled jalapenos. Anyway, I love pizza. I can talk about pizza all day. Thankfully, I'm on an appetite suppressant pill, so I'm not immediately going
You're
to
on
get...
it? You started it?
Yes, I'm on it. Well, I'm on a pill, not the shot. The shot will come later, but for
How
now...
How is it going?
It's going great. Yeah, I mean, it certainly works. Boy, howdy, is it working. Like in terms of like curbing my appetite, because normally after I'm done with the podcast, I always just order like a, like my lunch or whatever. It's usually like a pizza or some Chinese food or something, and they just go fucking Twinkie House on just like a big greasy pie. But even now at the end of this episode, I've been talking about pizza now for like 5 minutes. And, while it would be delicious to have some, my stomach is like, eh, I could go either way on that. So I'm just like, sweet, save myself $40, not order a big artisan Brooklyn style pizza. Everybody wins. Mostly me.
And so our final question, as always, is what are you guys looking forward to?
I'm going to start with Haley because I just talked for a long time.
Well, I'm going to go the food route and I'm going to finish this burrito in my hand. Uh-huh. So
I saw you adding some topping to your burrito during the pod.
It was just lots of salsa because I have to add an obscene amount of salsa.
Is that because the burrito is of a low quality?
No, it's just because I love salsa so much, you know?
Is that some sort of chain burrito? Is that from
It literally
spot?
Is. It's just Filiberto's.
That was a Filiberto's.
Is that
like a
Oh my god, chain? You don't know what a Filiberto's is? Filiberto's is just a chain here. It's just a chain.
I'm gonna break this to you. Nobody knows what that is.
Oh, if you're from Arizona, you know what a Filiberto's is.
Okay,
shout
of course, Arizona. But I mean, like, it's not like a thing.
I think
not
some
like
SoCal
In-N-Out,
people
where
might
it's
know.
A cultural thing for you
Nevada,
guys.
Nevada, maybe?
We should know about it. This is a thing that nobody should know about.
It's
anyway,
just a burrito place. Filiberto's?
Filiberto's.
But there's also like Julioberto's. There's like Iriberto's. There's lots of Bertos. But Filiberto's, it's just like, you know what you're going to get? You're going to get a big fat ass burrito. So yeah, I got a big fat ass breakfast burrito. And I'm going to finish that as soon as the pod's over.
I'm not gonna lie, when I lived out in the Kansas City area, there was a place called Poncho's that we used to go to when we would do our nerd card playing, because it was right there. And they just had quick, easy burritos, just like, and it was a fucking godsend to have a place like that. I mean, it was actual Mexican people cooking the food, so like it tasted like authentic in a way. Like the whole place was just owned by like a family, I think, and it was mad good. So shout out to Poncho's. If you're in the Kansas City area, if you find that place, it's the bomb.
There's so much authentic here, you know, authentic Mexican food, good authentic food. But Filiberto's is kind of just like the chain, you know, but it's reliable, it's good, it's just big food for cheap.
Hell yeah.
And I love burritos. And
no
I
shame
love
in liking a chain. My favorite macaroni salad comes from Hawaiian Brothers, and I'm still chasing that macaroni salad to this day.
What are you looking forward to?
I'm going to be putting the finishing touches on the next D&D character I'm going to be playing, who is a frog cowboy named Deputy Hocus Crocus.
And
he's got a robot horse. And that's going to be pretty fun.
What class is he? Or what system are you playing under?
It's going to be Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition. We're doing like a Planescape / Spelljammer sort of thing. So we're incentivized to play characters that are sort of bizarre. The Deputy Hocus Crocus is a third level artificer, which is why he has a robot horse. And also artificer. Why he has a gun.
Yep. Yes. That makes a lot of sense. And I do enjoy artificer as a class. That sounds very interesting.
It is apparently the least played class in Dungeons & Dragons by a lot. Because it's one of the it's like not one of the ones that was in the core rulebook. It came much later.
Oh, right, so. yeah. When people think D&D, they think like barbarian, rogue, bard, stuff like that. So like when you were like artificer, I'm like, man, that's a deep cut. I like it.
Also, for the record, I don't think I've ever played one in D&D 5th edition, so it'll be interesting to try.
That's cool. Yeah.
How about you, Mike? What are you excited for?
After this pod is over, I am going to get ready and I'm going to head into Boston for the wrestling that's going to be happening tonight. The AEW is coming to town.
Righteous. And it's very, good for you, bud.
It's very funny because the big thing that's happening is Sasha Banks from the WWE is debuting. She can't use that name, so she's going to be Mercedes Moné in AEW. But her nickname is The Boss, so it was very hilarious that Haley was The Boss when I logged in today.
That's funny.
Because I was like, oh my god, this is like a revelation. Like, Haley's like in on what's happening in wrestling today. And I knew she wasn't, so it just made me laugh even all the more.
I absolutely am, and I know everything about wrestling.
Right.
What's the person's name?
Mercedes Moné is her name now. Her name was Sasha Banks. And it's at this point that Haley rips off her mask and she's actually Sarah Hightower. And we just literally turned the podcast into a 2-hour wrestling thing. It would be hilarious. But yeah. So yeah. And also, I'm going to be seeing a listener of the podcast, Old McWatkins. He is in Boston and he's told me to text him when I get in the area. And we're going to grab some grub before the show. So that's going to be fun.
Hell yeah, that sounds awesome. Shout out to Old McWatkins for being a good dude.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's going to do it for us. It looks like we successfully navigated this week's treachery, and it's time for us to, let's say, tandem kayak our way down the stream that runs through Hellworld. It's a horrible stream, but we can float on it nonetheless. Thank you so much, listeners, for listening and supporting the show. If you'd like to continue to support the show even harder, but still for free, you can give us a 5-star review wherever you get your podcast from. If you have money and you want to give it to us, you can visit patreon.com/pokerpolitics. If you donate $5 or more per month, you get access to all of our bonus content, which at this point is probably approaching or maybe even over 60 hours worth of stuff, including old back catalog stuff where we were still recording with Sarge, all the way up to the newest series where Mike and Haley are tag teaming the JFK assassination. So once again, patreon.com/pokerpolitics to become one of our beautifuler babies. Thank you so much to all of the beautifuler babies who are already in the crib. If you have money and you want to do some good with it in the world, there are plenty of ways to do that, but you can visit love146.org as a suggestion. They are an organization whose vision is the end of child trafficking and exploitation, and that's always sounded pretty cool to us. Thank you, as always, to DJ Minimal Effort for our original theme song, remixed accidentally by Mike Rains, into what you heard at the top of the show. Thank you to our buddy Frosty, who does all of our voiceover work. You can find him on Blue Sky now at FrostyVO. You can find the show itself that you're listening to now on Twitter at Hellworld with a Q instead of an O. You can find myself on Blue Sky at Mysterious L, Haley on various social media platforms at Arizona Right Watch, and Mike Rains, of course, at Poker Politics on all social media platforms worth having. So for another successful episode of the Adventures in Hellworld podcast, I have been one of your co-hosts, the Mysterious L, joined, of course, by my fellow co-host, Arizona Right Watch, a.k.a. Haley, and our expert, all things QAnon crazy, Mr. Mike Rains, a.k.a. Arizona, a.k.a. Poker and Politics. I went ahead and fucked myself. Anyway, good speed, Patriots!
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.